All right, let's call the meeting to order. Roll call.
Murphy?
Here.
Anderson?
Here.
Buffo?
Here.
Harry? Ping?
Yes.
Robbins? Stuber?
Here.
All right, if you join us in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We welcome you to remain standing as we pray, if you so choose. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come here and hear the hearts of our village. Father, we thank you for wisdom as we deal with the issues in front of us. And Lord, let it be with an abundance of caution that we make any decisions, knowing that they don't just affect us today, but they affect others down the road. So we thank you for that. We trust you for your help and your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't think we have anybody signed up on the public comments. Do we?
No one has signed.
Does anyone want to talk? Okay. All right. Matt's not here, so we'll skip the engineering report. And we'll go right into the police department report.
I don't have much. A few things going on, but we can't discuss them here.
True.
Investigation-wise. Later this week is going to help the high school and the junior high do drills.
Perfect.
Probably help with the homecoming parade in a couple weeks. And other than that, pretty much business as usual.
Perfect.
We have our new officer that is in training, and so we got that going on. Now I'll turn it over to Matt.
Do we want to go ahead and do the swearing in?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do all that.
Sure.
All right. Well, if you want to go ahead and step forward and tell us a little bit about yourself. It's all you now.
Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Adrian.
Come on up.
Yep.
This is good.
This is good.
My name is Adrian. I live in Champaign. In the National Guard, specialist in the National Guard. I graduated from PTI, the Police Training Academy, in December of last year, December 20th of last year. I'm coming from Red Tool, so this is obviously a huge change of pace for me. So over there, I was busy all the time. Right here, I gotta find stuff to do now. I like working in a small town like this. I'm hoping I can be of good service to all y'all. I don't know. I'm 33. I'm from Champaign, so.
Good job.
Perfect. Welcome.
Good job. Welcome.
Thanks.
Well, I guess we should swear you in then.
Okay.
All right. All right. So,
we just haven't done this for a while. So, just go ahead and repeat after me. So, I state my name.
I, Adrian Gowner.
Have been appointed to the office of police officer in the village of Tolono.
I've been appointed to the office of police officer in the village of Tolono.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
County of Champaign.
County
and the
of
village
Champaign
of Tolono.
And the village of Tolono.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of police officer.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the police officer.
To the best of my abilities.
To the best of my abilities.
Okay. Congratulations.
Come on to you, real quick.
You have a report?
To the new business discussion of the changing of the EMAS.
Do what? Okay, before we skip down to that, I want to. Maddie, you want to give your presentation real quick?
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. So my name is Madeline Wilson.
And I've come tonight to inquire about a possible donation for a Tolono Fall Fest that I've been organizing. So some details are that it's planned for October 4th from 5 to about 9 or 10. It's the same night as a Unity home football game, so I'm hoping to get some traffic from outside. I believe it's Monticello who we play. I plan on maybe having it downtown so that vendors could have access to the electricity through the old IGA. And I figured it would be a good way to bring more attention to Tolono during the fall months. I've been in contact with some vendors that are willing to sell coffee, sell signs. The Girl Scouts would like to participate by doing a pumpkin sale and hay rack ride. And I've got someone signed up for homemade cinnamon rolls. Industrial Donuts would like to participate as well. I'm in contact with a few food trucks who would want to make themselves available for the evening. So I guess from there, I'm just looking for a donation to help with any expenses that the night would bring so that we could cover everything like insurance. And we're not taking any money from vendors who want to come in because we want to get them here and we want to get people here and we don't want to charge anything for them for the first time that we're doing this. So I came to kind of pick your brain. I went to the Tolono Fun Day meeting and got their approval and asked them like what sort of steps that they take before planning an event like this. So
do you have any idea how much the insurance was going to be?
We're looking into a policy.
I think the insurance might be covered under ours, but I have
okay.
not got a phone call back from our insurance people yet.
Okay.
So, because it's on village property. So, and there's no alcohol, there's no, just a, and this would feed into if we decide to do a farmer's market.
Yeah.
So it kind of all feed into that whole thing.
I would imagine because they are not actually associated with the village, they would still have to have their own, at least a special event
mm-hmm.
insurance coverage. They would name us as an additional insured on that policy, but I'm guessing you will probably have to at least get a one-day policy.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you a name of a company that you should check out.
Okay.
They're used by a lot of the park districts. Well, not by the park districts, but by people wanting to have events in the park districts, parks. So it's a reputable company that might be able to help bring down the cost of the insurance.
Okay.
But our insurance guy will probably tell us that you'll still have to have your own.
Okay.
So we can definitely get you information on that. What are you doing this all by yourself?
I have some help.
So yes. No.
Kelly Murphy is helping me.
Okay.
We have a Facebook page and we've been trying to kind of see who's interested, and it's been getting a lot of good feedback and a lot of people asking questions and stuff like that. So I've also had lots of people say, hey, if you need any help with that, let me know. So I was just kind of waiting on further approval to reach out to more people.
So what kind of a donation are you hoping for?
I was thinking ballpark $1,000.
$1,000?
Yes, $1,000.
I'm trying to think how much Fun Day pays for their insurance policy. I think it's around $500-$600.
Right.
But I could be completely wrong. I wish Brian was here
because
he could rattle it off.
Yeah, because that's who I talked
mm-hmm.
to and to kind of get a monetary amount from him, and he was like probably around $1,000 just for the first year, and you know, anything we don't use, we get back.
Because then the next year, if this goes off well, then
mm-hmm.
you can, the vendors can pay whatever,
right,
to rent spots and stuff.
We'll see if he answers. He asked if we were recording or streaming,
mm-hmm.
and he laughed at me. But we'll see if he is able to answer that one quickly.
Okay.
So, but. And I think they're looking into seeing if they could just do a write-off their policy too, right?
Okay.
So
yes.
That they had.
We haven't even tapped our community engagement budget yet, have we? Or we used that for Rave?
No, Rave I think was contractual.
Because that's should be factored in this year, right? So, not that I think you're going to need all of it, but
right.
I'll make a motion to approve up to $1,500 for the Tillamook Fall Fest.
I'll second.
All right, since it's money, roll call.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bucko?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Perfect.
Thank you.
And then just get up with Brandy later
okay.
on the money. All right. Awesome. All right. So, all right. Now to skip back around. So, you want to do your presentation?
Sure.
We're skipping way around on this.
Was established as a joint venture in 2002. Its purpose was to secure the benefits of a robust countywide GIS in an economical manner through member agency cost sharing. So this is done through an intergovernmental agreement, and so the current members of the consortium include the City of Champaign, Urbana, Rantoul, Mahomet, Champaign County, the University of Illinois. Champaign County is the lead agency of this joint venture. So why am I here? Well, we're here because based on conversations with Matt and Rena, Tolono is kind of beginning to move forward and embrace geographic information systems, which is GIS. I know that you're moving forward with the Rave Alert system, which utilizes address point data. And then Matt is interested in infrastructure collection. So things like water meters, manholes, things like that. So I'm here to kind of quickly touch upon two items. First, we're just going to kind of give you a demonstration of a simple water meter collection app that we just quickly put together for you. And then second is I want to talk a little bit about CCGIS membership, its benefits, and kind of the general fees that go along with it. So first we're going to start with the collection app because that's probably the most interesting and fun. So what we put together,
I think it's because your
iPad's
locked.
It just needs to go back. So the app that we're showing, it was created with something called ArcGIS Online. ArcGIS Online is a cloud-based mapping analysis and solution system. So it's used to kind of make maps, analyze data, collect field data, things like that. In order to use ArcGIS Online, you have to have an ArcGIS Online account. You need a mobile device, such as a tablet, a phone, anything like that. You need a free app called the Collector app, which ESRI is the company that makes ArcGIS Online, so it's just a free app that's created by ESRI. And then you need internet connectivity. Now, internet connectivity can be like constant when you're out in the field, or you can be disconnected in the field and then just use the internet to upload once you're done doing the data collection.
Okay, so she's done. So I'll just show you a little bit about how the Collector app works. So this app is using the internal GPS this iPad to find our location. So accuracy is all based on how good your GPS is within your device. So here we have your near police station, so I'm just going to add a point right there. So you just hit the add point option, and it's telling you that there's poor location. So you can choose to add the point anyway or try to get a better connection. So that is the point, and then you also have the option to take a photo if you want and attach that for, I don't know, to track the condition of a manhole or whatever it might be. You can also attach a video, audio, a PDF, whatever would be useful information to go along with whatever you're collecting. And once you submit, you can there's fields that you can add to this. Like this one just has a meter ID, so you can just give it some number or whatever the number might be, and hit submit, and it'll save your point that you created and any information that you attach to it. And then it shows you the attribute information and the accuracy level based on how good the GPS was at the time. You can also change the base map that you're looking at. Like right now it's looking at our consortium base map. You can change to an Esri base map, which is the company that creates this app. Change it to this one, just so you can see the difference if it loads. So that's just a simple collection map. And that's basically what the app does.
So just a couple of things. So the accuracy one, we're in a building, we're not outside, so you're gonna not have very good GPS accuracy when you're inside a building. There are ways using the collector app to bypass the internal GPS and use kind of a more accurate GPS unit. So there's all kinds of handheld GPS units out there. There's Garmin's, Trimble's. They vary in price. Obviously, the more expensive, the better the accuracy, the less expensive. Not so great. I initially looked online when I talked to Matt, and some guy kind of did some testing, and he said it was between kind of 1 and 2 meters for an iPad mini, but we've since found some kind of more formal documentation done by the Forest Service, the U.S. Forest Service, and iPads are typically between 3 and 5 meters. So for some things that might be good enough, things like manholes, but things like water meters, you know, that's a decision you'll have to make. The nice thing with the app too is you can have it locate your point, but then if you have good imagery, so for example, the consortium imagery is 6-inch resolution. So if you know where the water meter is, it kind of puts the point in the general area. And then you can actually physically select the point and move it to the location of the water meter when you see it on the imagery. So there are workarounds to not having like super awesome GPS. So long as it's visible or there's, you know, a tree here or there, you can kind of place it so it's more accurate than what the GPS would give you. So you need to kind of keep that in mind as you're kind of weighing those options. I think that's about it for the app. ArcGIS Online does have associated costs, so it's not free. Sorry, it doesn't just give you access to ArcGIS Online. See it all. So typically how ESRI charges is it charges by user. So when you purchase a user for ArcGIS Online from ESRI, you purchase essentially an ArcGIS Online account. So if you were to do what we just showed, at the very minimum, you would need a creator user, which is $500 per year, and you would need a field worker user, which is $350 per year. So that would allow somebody to create the app, and then it would allow a field worker, just one, to be able to utilize the app in the field. If you needed additional users, you would obviously have to bump up those quantities. Because it is a cloud-based storage system, you would be storing your data in the ArcGIS Online cloud. So there are also, which you can't really see, but there are also fees associated to that. So ESRI uses a credit system in the cloud, and there's pages you can go and look, but it talks about how many credits are used for certain things. So ESRI has made storage very, very inexpensive. So it only takes 2.4 credits per 10 megabytes stored based on hourly calculations of storage per month. So it really is not using many credits to store your data in the cloud. Where you really get hit is if you do any analysis in the cloud, which for field collection stuff, you probably wouldn't be doing much. With those users that I was talking about, you do get credits when you purchase a user. So if you bought one creator and one field worker, you would get about 750 credits for the year. And that should be enough credits for the year based on, but you should just be aware that those costs are there. That's it in terms of the app. Now I just want to quickly kind of talk about, because Rena's had some questions, I think you guys have kind of maybe at a basic level kind of discussed CCGIC and its membership opportunities. So quickly, just CCGIC, so what we do is we just kind of create the building blocks for a GIS. So like our mission was to create all the base layers so that, and the reason why we were put together, and so that the individual agencies don't have to do it. So we maintain things like tax parcels, subdivisions, annexations, addresses, easements, right-of-ways, street center lines, control points, taxing districts, municipal annexations, and many other things. In addition, the member agencies combine their resources every 3 years and they purchase new orthophotography. So every year, a member agency contributes a certain amount of money towards orthotography that's purchased the third year. So as a member and the size of Tolono, your contribution would be well less for orthotography than like $1,000. So Muhammad pays $1,100 once a year for the orthotography purchase in the third year, where if they were to do it on their own, it would probably be around $30,000. So the consortium was created back in 2002 with the intent by the larger municipalities that once the smaller municipalities kind of turned and embraced GIS, that they would eventually become members and kind of pay their proportionate share for the data and for our services. So based on just recent conversations with Matt and the RAVE system, it might be something you guys maybe want to talk about and consider. Just quickly, I'll just kind of go over some member agency benefits. I'm not going to go into detail, so if you ever want me to come back at any other time and go and talk about these things in more detail, I would be happy to. So what it kind of gives you is we have something called an Enterprise Geo Database. What that would allow you to do is anybody here at the Village of Muhammad through a high-speed internet connection can connect to our database and get the data live. So we're constantly updating data. You would constantly have the most up-to-date data. You would have access to published services. So for example, what Nicole showed you, that original base map using the CCGIS data, it had the streets on it, still up. Yeah, so it has the street names, you know, our imagery, which it looks a lot better on here than it translates to the screen. Our imagery, things like that. You would have access to all the services that we've created that ArcGIS Online consumes. So that would mean you wouldn't have to store information necessarily into the cloud, at least not the big things like the orthotography of the streets and things that you might want in your base map. You could just consume our service, which is already created. Again, we acquire ortho imagery, so you would have access to that. We also have something called a document server. So it's just kind of a fast, easy way to access some relevant documents such as annexation, subdivision plats, right-of-ways, easement deeds, things like that. I can quickly show you that. Just so you can kind of see how it's set up. It's not everything, but it's quite a bit of things. And the document server is linked to GIS features. So for example, if we have an annexation polygon, you could click on the annexation polygon. There's a hyperlink that would lead you then directly to that annexation document. So let me just kind of show you. So we have all the documents stored on our system. So if you clicked on this annexation in the GIS, it would pop up this document through this document server. You could also utilize the document server as I just did. You can kind of go in and scroll through things. We do offer customized municipal apps. So we create kind of maps that are customized for your entity. So like you could click on a parcel, find information about parcel owner information, things like that, just for the village of Tolono. If Tolono had layers that it wanted to add, so say you did collect the water meters or you did collect the manholes, that could all be added in this custom kind of mapping application, which could be accessed from you know, a mobile device, a workstation, anything like that. We also have a number of member agency kind of base resources, so resources that we only allow out to member agencies. So the document server is one of those. We also have things like a genealogy, which is kind of interesting. So this is just parcel genealogy. I don't know how often you guys use it, but if you want to trace a parcel back, like what did it come from, the parcel is referenced in old documentation and it's not in the system anymore, on the map anymore, you can kind of use this to see, well, what was the parent parcel, things like that if you wanted to do. Okay, while that's loading, we have other things. We have an addressing app. Again, that's only available to member agencies. It's another mapping app. It allows you to pick a point on a map and give a buffer, and then it'll export an Excel spreadsheet of all the addresses within that buffer. So for mailings, if you do mailings for zoning cases or what have you. So this is a simple one, but it just kind of gives you a diagram. So the number I entered is what you see in red. You can't really see it because it's, I don't think that helps. What you see in red is the number I typed in, and it just shows you that it came from that pin, and that pin was split into two pins. So it's kind of nice for historic research. Along those same lines, we do have have something called a historic tax map atlas. So it just kind of shows the parcels from year to year. Anyway, it's kind of a cool, fun thing too. But I'll just show you one. You can drill down and find an old tax map book page. So I don't know if any of you are familiar with those old big Sidwell books. This is just kind of a nicer, cleaner way. So it has the tax map books going back to 1980. So again, it's another tool for looking at parcel history. And I don't know how often you use that, but it seems like there's going to be times when you're going to need that for research. So it just pulls up kind of that tax map book page. And again, so you can compare like the most current one to say one from 1980 and kind of get an idea of what changes have occurred. We also have, and this is open to all municipalities, but it was through a CCJSC initiative that allowed this to happen. So this is what we call the addressing interface. But anyway, so the addressing interface is a web interface. So we feed all the addresses to Metcalf, which is used for dispatch. So we are the source of addressing for the centralized dispatch center in Champaign County. Oh, it's going to be all crazy because it's on a tablet. But with the help from your jurisdiction and from the post office, maybe not the best thing to show on a map, but we maintain all the addresses then for Champaign County, but we can't do it without the city. So the city's, this looks much better on a, it's not made for a mobile device, it's made for a workstation. So we work with the different municipalities. This interface actually gives them the ability, we can give you access to this, you would have the ability to update and maintain your own addresses after some training on how to use the interface. And the moment you make an update in here, it's updated in our system, and each night it gets fed and pushed to Metcalf. So this initiative was made possible through the member agencies, through EMA, cooperation with EMA, and then cooperation with Metcalf. So this was a huge deal. So, for example, the city of Champaign, they make their address updates in here. It goes into a centralized database, and it gets pushed directly to Metcalf, which is really nice. And then along with this initiative, we also developed, which I don't know if you guys are aware of, but we did also develop addressing standards. So it's a document that's available to all the municipalities. There's an incorporated addressing standard document and an unincorporated addressing standard document. We'll see if it opens. So these are kind of the minimum requirements with EMA and Metcalf that everybody would like to see met when you are addressing in your cities. So it just kind of goes through different kind of standard scenarios, gives examples, things like that. Okay, so moving on. So other benefits is you get the experience of
the CCGIS staff. So we have a programmer. Nicole also programs, and she's an analyst. We have a specialist. We have end mapping technicians. So if you all were ever to do a project, you could always come to us. We would be available as a resource. Or if you're working with a third-party vendor, we would be available as a resource to help kind of work you through that project. So those are just kind of some examples of the benefits of the consortium. So as a member, I mean, if you, Tolono did decide to become a member, membership is active. It's not a passive thing. So there is a policy board that meets once a quarter. We do have kind of technical representatives too. Each town designates a technical representative. And that person comes to more technical meetings. So when we're discussing how to do certain things, what's most beneficial in terms of formatting our data for the villages, for the cities, that's where we would require input from your technical representative. So it is an active, it is kind of an active participation, an active membership. In terms of membership, the consortium actually just updated their IGA, or they're in the process of updating their IGA to make fees a lot more reasonable than they were historically. So let me get out of here. So membership assessment is based on certain things. So there's a base rate, and then you add that, and it's your population times a per capita rate. So for municipalities less than 5,000, the base rate is 3,000 a year, and then the per capita rate is 72 cents. So for Tolono to join, your membership would be $5,475.36. Now, the member agencies do have something called an initial buy-in cost. So they've made huge investments into the consortium, the infrastructure, staff, things like that. So any new members are required to pay up by a buy-in cost, which is essentially the first 3 years of membership, but you have 5 years to pay that back. The other thing I should explain is once you're a member, so everything that we use, computers, desks, all our assets belong to the consortium. So as a member, you're also a partial owner of those assets. So if the consortium were ever to disband, a proportionate share would be given back to each member agency. So that's something you need to be aware of. So with the buy-in cost, if you were to pay that in equal amounts over 5 years, the first 5 years of membership would be about $8,760.58. That's all I have. Does anybody have any questions?
So the cost is a little over $16,000 to join, and then it's $5,475 and some change a year after
right.
that. And then on top of that, we have to pay $350 a year for the user license, then $500 a year for the creator's license.
So you have to look at things as two different ways. So
okay.
First is I'm looking at ArcGIS Online. So ArcGIS Online, that you can do on your own. So you can do that for approximately $150. You would just have to use then the ESRI-based maps, and you would have to store your information up in the cloud. So that is something that you can do. You don't need to be a member to do that.
Okay.
So membership just gives you access essentially to all the data, all the GIS data. It gives you access to all those benefits that I just rambled off. So if Tolono, if you feel like Tolono's at that point where they're going to start utilizing and embracing GIS more and more, I think membership is probably a good way to go, because essentially we're providing you with all the space data that otherwise you would have to create on your own. So like hiring somebody, you know, going through all the deeds, developing it on your own. With this, you're just being, you know, here it all is.
And then membership also, like if you're not happy with the data or it's not what you want to see or there's different attributes, membership gives you the flexibility to voice those so that those things can be added. And that was another reason why the consortium was developed is, you know, they didn't want the county just to have the total say, this is how it is, and tough luck, and you deal with it, and we're not changing the way we do things. This was meant to be collaborative, and everybody has a say, so it meets the needs of not just the county, but of all the municipalities, whether you're a small municipality or a large municipality. So that kind of was the idea behind it. And then it's a nice resource then for everybody, and you know, becoming a member versus starting your own, it's much more economical.
So just to reiterate, if we went the CCGISC route, the annual is $5,475.36.
Right.
Plus a portion of the 16.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep, and you have the option, the way the IGA is written, because the members wanted it flexible, you have the option to pay that buy-in fee up front. You can spread it over 5 years. You can spread it over 3 years. They don't care.
So long as it's paid within the first five.
Right.
Okay.
Cool. Any other questions? Well, to digest.
And again, I mean, I can come back and show more details. So, for example, we can show the Muhammad app. So, an app we created for Muhammad. Muhammad has offered, you know, if anybody wants to go out there and talk to them and see how they utilize GIS and the membership, they're happy to talk to you. So I could always arrange something like that. So,
okay.
So what kind of additional costs would personalized app creation entail?
No, that we just do for member agencies. So
okay.
Things where additional costs would come in is if, so for example, if you wanted us or the consortium to do something for you that's only for the Village of Tolono, it's not like a regional thing, it's just something you want to do, as a member, you would have the option to use us versus going to a consulting firm, which would probably be more expensive. And as a member, you just pay flat costs. So you don't pay any benefit time, anything like that. You just pay what our hourly rates are. So we do contract. We do contract work for other agencies that aren't members. So we've done some work for Carl. We do work for the sanitary districts, for the sanitary district. We do work for Piatt County. We do work for Douglas County. Because they're not member agencies, they pay a higher hourly
sure.
rate than we would. But it's still, because we're public, it's still just to cover our costs. But with membership, you're already paying things like benefit time. And indirect, so we wouldn't add that on again. I mean, that's crazy. It wouldn't make any sense.
Okay.
So we're just there as a resource, and maybe as an inexpensive resource versus using, a consulting firm.
Okay.
Like that.
Anything else? Thank you, guys.
Sure.
Thank
you. Back
you.
In contact with you.
Okay. Thank
for,
you.
Thank you very much.
Let's go ahead and do the treasurer's report. Any
go
questions?
Back to
over?
Matt.
Huh? Oh, back to Matt. Oh, okay, sorry.
I didn't really have a whole lot. The only thing I had was just continuing on with the Main Street. I'd like to kind of get something in writing between the village and the Benham parcel and parcels of like Maine and Washington. Mm-hmm. So
what do you want me to write?
That's yeah. what we heard from the last time. We didn't know what you had discussed with him to write.
We need to sit down with Mark then and write that, have him write it then.
Because I'm kind of stuck in the middle and I'm trying, you know, they're telling me one thing, I'm hearing different things from here,
so we're going to have to sit down with a meeting again, maybe have Mark there at that meeting when he gets back from vacation.
So
maybe we can plan that a week from Friday. I think. trying to think of my calendar.
Yeah.
I think maybe we can just sit down. Well, I'll reach out to Mark when he gets back, and we'll just sit down with everybody, and he can take notes, and he can write something up.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That'll work. We're getting meters in tomorrow, 500 meters. We've got some installed already, kind of working a few little bugs out here and there on installation. So we're going to try and hit it hard next 3, 4, 5 weeks, see what we can come up with. So hopefully we can get, we're going to do specific routes to try and knock those out. And then kind of keep make sure we get our next order in. I think they're talking like 6 weeks lead time on meters, so it's not terrible. So I'll talk to Larry tomorrow about the antenna and see kind of where we're at with that.
We got any big meters in, or just the household?
The 3/4 by 5/8 and the 1-inch meters. That's all I've ordered so far.
Cool.
So that's pretty much all I've got.
You got brush time today?
Almost.
I know you got mine. So.
Yeah. Are there any questions? One of the features on the meter software is it actually will put the, it'll geocode the address to the lot. So it's already putting a geolocation like in the center of the lot for these meters. So that's kind of where we're looking at trying to get better GPS information. So it'll put right on where it's supposed to be at. So I can show you the re software here. You know, if anybody wants to see that, we can kind of walk through that. And it's a lot handier than what we had. We can store a lot more information in there. So
the water line on Deer Pass, I saw the big hole in the driveway.
I think that I'm hoping tomorrow they'll be here to.
But it's fixed? Done?
It's fixed.
Okay.
Repaired. Yep.
Awesome.
Until we get the next one.
Shh. Like I said, that was number 5.
Yeah,
area,
say,
so.
You're going to have them all replaced before too awful long.
Now, treasures.
Any questions on the bills?
Why are there so few at the beginning of the month?
Because nothing comes big in the middle.
I'm not upset about that.
Because they all started rolling in this morning.
I'll make a motion to pay the bills as presented.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Anderson?
Yes.
Buffo?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
We did have a super.
Can you sign the bills yet? The checks yet? We signed all the.
We had one sewer credit. Oh, for the West Side Park. Discussion on this.
Does anyone else have any discussion on this?
Well, we talked about this before a little bit.
Other than the fact it was turned on without notification, and pretty sure it was one of our guys, right?
They might have turned it on themselves.
That's what I'm.
I don't think our
too.
Guys turned it on, did they?
Could. I don't know.
Could have.
That's yeah.
I mean. It's pretty easy to turn on yourself.
So that was just the line to the fountain. That
said.
Can't be a big line.
I know this. I have it on very good authority that they were notified shortly after the water was turned on that that fountain was running. They were notified again by the same person at least weeks later, potentially even a month later, that it was still on. And they didn't do anything to turn it off, get it turned off, or anything.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, because it wasn't... This keeps saying a line leak, but it sounded like it was more...
No, it was running.
It was just running continuously, so I think that kind of falls under what we've been doing everybody else. If it goes down the drain, it's not refundable. If they'd like to come explain it better, they can do that too.
Well, and how much of it was actual leakage and how much was usage from 2018?
That's the other problem.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, does anybody want to make a motion on this? I'm saying no.
We would only need the motion if we wanted to approve
it. We'll table it then. That's why I was asking.
But do we need to table it?
No.
Yeah.
They can resubmit.
Just, yeah.
Resubmit it. Okay.
It's done.
Alright, I think that was it on. I didn't see the other ones in here. So that's taken care of. Alright, regular session minutes on August 20th, 2019. Any discussion on that?
Make a motion to approve the August 20th, 2019 regular session minutes.
Second.
And then
all in favor.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody
you can still read them.
Executive session.
Yeah. Motion to approve executive session minutes from August 20th.
I'll second.
All in favor?
No, you have to. That's a roll call.
I'll
Anderson?
Call.
Yes. Buffo?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right. Discussion approval of fees for the RAVE system for other entities. Do we have any discussion on this? We decided on a price last meeting.
Two meetings ago.
Yeah.
Two meetings ago.
We had an initial setup fee and then an annual fee. Is that what we
something
did?
Something like that, yeah.
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 We probably should write that up in our ordinance.
That's, I think, was going to be the plan.
What,
yeah.
And then Mark's not here, so I guess we'll pass on that until next meeting.
Unless anyone here cares to know what we're talking about. That doesn't know what we're talking about.
Okay. Would you guys, since we have a church represented here, I'm going to put you on the spot, I apologize.
Especially since I didn't talk to him about this.
Did you even talk to him about it?
I did not.
So the village is getting a RAVE system. It's a system that will phone call people, text message them, like when there's water outages or boil orders. Or along those lines.
Storms.
We've been using it right
dead
now
spot.
To populate our Facebook
dead
page
spot.
For storms and different things. So to offset the cost a little bit on it, we're going to offer it out. We're going to start with churches first to just see how it would work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking a very low rate. What remember what was decided?
It was under 200, just over 100.
Yeah, it was like it was going to be like a setup
bucks.
Fee and then an annual fee, but it was all going to be like under 200 a year. That the churches could add their own list of their members, and then like
send
church is canceled, and then you could send it out to your members. You don't have access to all of Tolono, but you would
just
have
to
just to whatever
to
you guys
whoever
set
up. Signs up for
yeah.
those notifications
and
that church or that business.
So they can populate their own list though,
mm-hmm.
too. So you'll have access to your list, and you can send out notifications to your church, and you could send out, hey, we have potluck, or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
Notifications. I know our church sends them out, and we were cheaper than what they were paying, I believe.
I think that's right.
I've slept since then, so. So it's just an idea. If it's something you guys are interested in, once we get an ordinance made, then we're going to push out to churches first.
Okay.
So it's, and really it's not really offsetting the fee very often or much, because I can't remember what we pay for rave, but we're paying a couple thousand bucks for rave. $3,500 a year, so.
So it will enable us to communicate.
Huh?
It will enable us to communicate.
Yes,
yeah.
It would.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
So I don't know if you do any kind of alerts like that now, or you just do a phone tree. So.
No, we don't.
It's just an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Okay. Now I think whatever else is for discussion on cannabis sales in the village. So, it's an interesting one. You guys have input on it since you're here?
I'll listen and then I'll tell you.
I think at this point we're pretty much leaving it open for
comments. We're looking for comments.
That's
because
what we want to hear at this point is what people think.
Because I'm torn on it, because y'all know what I do for a living. You know what Ping does for a living. I don't think it's a good idea at all. But, and I don't know what approach to take on it. So that's why we're looking for comments. Unfortunately, we're going to have it in our community, and we can't stop that. So I don't know where to go on this. And I was sitting there thinking about this and talking about this with somebody else the other day. If they're going to go get it in Champaign or another community, are they going to use it and then drive back to our community? I don't know. Selling it in our community, would it keep them off the roads buying it? I don't know. I just, those are the things that go through my head constantly, and I don't know what the right approach to take. So that's why we're looking for the public comment on this.
I actually had a conversation with a gentleman yesterday about this exact issue. And one thing he brought up is if Tolono were to allow the sale in Tolono and all of our surrounding communities chose not to, then Tolono also has the additional traffic of all of those people
coming to our community,
not to partake of anything other than potentially marijuana, and either using it here or who knows, being high on their way in or being high on their way out. And then we still have to deal with that here.
It's the exact reverse of what I was thinking too.
Because we don't know what's going to get added, what's going to get changed. Like I said before, I don't think it's a great idea, but it's legal. I'm not going to begrudge somebody if they say, hey, I would like to sell. I don't think public use would be good. I'd like to ban public use. Like I said, it's legal through the state. I know they kind of put the onus on the villagers. You guys do what you want to do, but we say it's legal. With being so close to Champaign Urbana and even Savoy, I don't see us having somebody come to town to open a shop until it becomes legal. It's going to happen, it becomes legal to sell in the bars. Which
I hope that never happens.
I can see it happening.
Sell it and walk. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
You could order a beer and a blunt. How long ago was gaming not allowed in bars? And now it's that was offered. So
I think that's how it's going to be, right? As far as it's still a ways out, even though it turns legal, it's a long
that's
way.
What we kind of keep it on the agenda. People want to come and. And we can
it's probably
going to
pop up like gaming, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably don't won't want to miss out on it, you know, once it becomes, you know, just from the revenue we bring in.
But is that how we want to make revenue? On somebody else's vices?
saying we have
liquor and gaming
bars in this town.
I understand that,
and people can use it responsibly.
I understand that, but the more we keep saying this was illegal, this has bad effects, this has negative effects, but now it's legal, so you can go ahead and do it, and we're going to tax you for it because we want the money. All that says is, we want the money. That doesn't say we care about you as a person. We care about your health, your well-being. It says we want the money, which is strictly greed.
I'm not even for it just because of the money aspect. It's more of it's being offered for sale to adults.
Mm-hmm.
You're an adult. You can make your own decision. If you are completely against it, and I am, I'm not going to go buy it. If somebody else wants to, that's their decision, not mine.
So what happens if we as a village say yes to marijuana, and then the state makes prostitution legal? And then they say, communities, you can do what you want. We've made it legal.
That's a bridge you got to cross.
But you get to tax it if you want. And now we have a decision about prostitution, the legalities of prostitution in Tolono. Because every time we go away from a standard of right, every time we allow another thing that was wrong or has negative effects, I understand where you're coming from, and I understand where everybody's coming from. But we can't keep pushing it down the road and saying, okay, now this is legal, so we're going to make it legal just so we can get the tax revenue. This is now legal, so we're going to make it legal in our community so that we can get the tax revenue. I got news for you. When we start, the gentleman I was talking to, his community taxes the heck out of marijuana. And people buy it illegally because...
Oh, I don't think... Yeah,
They're not going to pay. Exactly.
I don't think
they
this
may
is the
go
end all
up
be all of,
more
of illegal sales.
Because now the growers are being taxed. The sellers are being taxed. So they're going to find those places they can get it for a lower price than those people that are now having to pay the state for what they thought was going to be a cash crop. But my concern is, we keep saying yes to all of these things. When does it stop? When does it end? What else are we going to say yes to next?
I understand it.
So that's where it's going to be differing
views on it.
And I understand that it's legal, and I understand that an adult has the right to buy it if they choose and to use it if they choose. But we as a community don't have to say, yeah, it's legal, and we want your tax money.
We can ban it in certain areas. It doesn't have to be legal
everywhere. I know. The use is legal. Where they can use it or if they can use it while on village time, that's a different issue. But the use of it will be legal, period. We can only go so far in what we can even ban or where we can ban it.
Yes, sir.
Your talking is pulling me out into this.
Can you scoot forward, though, so you're on the microphone, please?
I don't think your responsibility is to find more tax revenues for the city of Tolono. I think part of your responsibility is to be watchful for how this is going to affect families. And I can tell you personally about my own family, that marijuana has affected my family and has affected friends that I grew up with. My concern, I just hated that our governor put everybody in this position to begin with. I see your responsibility much like my responsibility. My responsibility is to encourage people to live in such a way that is good for our society. And my responsibility is to remind people of the cost of certain decisions in their life. And that's your responsibility as well. It's just as much your responsibility as it's my responsibility. And in this issue, there is a cost to our families when they're opened up to, when they're opened up to gambling. And now it doesn't affect everybody the same way. That's true. But it does affect some in much deeper ways. And it costs the family much more. And that's our responsibility. And so, alongside of the income streams that everybody's looking for, and I know it's hard to make your budgets, I'm just asking you to consider what's going to be the cost. What's going to be the cost to our families in this city? And is it my responsibility? Is it just purely economical, or do we have a societal thing here that we have responsibility for? And that's what I'm asking you to consider here. I know this: every friend that I ever had that started with this drug ended up into more drugs. I don't think it's our business to help that along in any way. I personally think it's our business to help people get away from it. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people higher than we are right now that are pushing these issues for one reason, and it's income streams. That's the reason. And I'm just asking you to consider these other things as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maddie had her hand up. Did you want to say something, Maddie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes.
My opinion is I don't think it's beneficial to the community. And I really don't get the fact that we've made it illegal to smoke publicly. And now they're talking about how damaging it is to people's health to vape. And then our state is legalizing marijuana. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. I really don't want to see our community opened up to this, and I think it does change the atmosphere of our community. I just heard that, I don't know how solid it is because things change and stuff, but I just heard from somebody that lives in Savoy that Savoy has passed this up. They're not going to go for it. They're saying really kind of opposite of what I hear, kind of the thinking of Tolona a lot of times when we open ourselves up to other decisions. Their thinking is that they're not going to be able to compete with champagne by having it, and so and they're not going to benefit from it, and so therefore they're not allowed to have sales in Savoy. So, thank you.
Interesting thing is that also, even though our state has legalized it, it's still a federal crime.
Oh, it is still a federal crime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the AG's office has said they're not going to force.
Okay. Are we talking about the allowance of having a dispensary in Tolono,
yes,
or just like places like Casey's or like Trackside being able to sell?
Well,
them?
That's what people are saying. If he sees it expanding,
it's going
like
to expand
gaining
eventually.
Expanded,
right?
And getting ahead of it before we're behind it.
Okay.
Right now, just get a dispensary.
Okay.
I mean, we can't just Casey's can't sell it.
And
a bar can't sell
and
it.
And we don't have
exactly.
anybody that's approached us saying
no.
they want to come and. Build one.
Right.
It's just we need to have something in place
before January.
For that.
So and with all the regulations that would come along with it, I think it, even if we did set an ordinance, I think it would be too expensive. And like what Savoy said, they can't compete with Champaign-Urbana.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of a new point anyway, because I don't think they'll build it. I don't know.
I feel like whichever way you choose to go, Champaign-Urbana will always be where people will buy it because there's already like Phoenix
mm-hmm.
Botanical and
Med
in Urbana-Champaign. So I guess I don't know. Like, as a younger person, I don't know where I stand on that for a town such as Tolono. I think that marijuana should be treated like alcohol. You can buy it responsibly as a 21-year-old, and people consume alcohol in Tolono. We have more bars than churches in Tolono. So I think, as a younger person, that's where I stand with that. Is that if you're 21, you're an adult, should be treated as an adult on the lines of buying alcohol or marijuana. And people who are using it illegally are going to face consequences of that, just as alcohol.
Any more discussion on this?
I just appreciate the conversation of responsibility, and whether it's responsibility of a moral nature or responsibility to a community of a different type of nature financially, if that's where your mind heads to. But for me, I feel like the responsibility is what do the people in the village want? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that means that we have a special meeting related to this topic, because maybe we find out some things, and maybe it's 50-50, because it could very easily be everyone who thinks we should go to this side of the room, and everyone thinks we shouldn't go to this side of the room, and it could be right down the middle. And then we have to, you know, figure something else there. But I don't know what would be wrong with saying that's not something that we're going to even entertain at this time. And if someone approaches us and 2027, because to Maddie's point, I don't think we're going to be the go-to place for dispensaries. We can't even fill our downtown with a cheeseburger joint, for crying out loud. You know what I mean? So I don't think we're in any danger here of being the marijuana mecca of Champaign County. But in 2027, let's say somebody wants to come to us, then we could probably revisit at that time, right? Or whoever comes after us, because we've gone on to the Senate or something, you know. We're pretty great in that way. So, right. So someone's about to be president. Who knows? But, it's just an interesting topic. Very, very divisive. A lot of different poles. Moral, financial. There's a lot to think about in it. And the financial side isn't going to be super lucrative, even if we allowed, I think, this to happen. There's a tax you can add to it. And I read an article in the paper the other day where they're saying, please don't even add that tax.
Because they're asking you not to,
because then people will just buy it illegally like they're doing it now. It's going to price them out. Different reasons for that. But so I think it's just something that kind of weighs on everybody. But I would suggest that as it gets a little bit closer, maybe we have a meeting devoted to this topic, and we bring people in, and let's hear everybody out. And that, because that's our job. That's who we're responsible to, right? The citizens of the village. And we were voted to represent them here at this table. So let's find out what they want.
Perfect.
So
I think that's a great idea.
On the point of another meeting, I probably do one in October. That way we still have 4 or 5 meetings afterwards to kind of hash something out as far as an ordinance goes. Since we work so fast getting ordinances.
Well, we can we'll look for a date in October that works for everybody.
How about October 4th? Sounds like a fun fest kind of a thing, you know? Just bring everybody downtown.
Sure.
Exactly.
That'll bring them in.
Do not do October 4th.
Okay.
Let's make sure that October 4th is not the date.
Football game? Halftime football game?
Yes.
Exactly.
Half-time.
You can split the crowd.
There.
Who wants it? Who doesn't want it?
Right.
You really see it.
There you go.
Okay. Just
who
you
over 18?
Right.
So. All right. So any other discussion on this? Because it looks like we're going to have some more discussion later. Good. All right. Discussion of raising a golf cart permit. We have several months to decide on this one. Did you have more to add? Is any discussion on that?
Okay. Two weren't here when you told us about that last meeting.
And my questions were what?
I watched it.
Did you watch it? Why? If you raised
it,
what were we going to use it for? And Jared had some really good ideas. You know, some better signage, because we don't have good signage at all when it comes to golf carts. And And
there we go. So it's not a large increase. I think it's 125 permits at whatever $35 would be.
We're at 145 as of today.
Okay, so still, it's not like we're gonna bring 10 grand in.
Can we put a tax on that? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we'll tax the golf course. Yeah. Some increased signage along 45. I know Matt said those signs aren't cheap since you're doing kind of one-off signs.
Right.
Start with that. Maybe some.
I'm sure somebody's got a golf cart sign or a no golf cart sign.
Oh, yeah.
Got an artistic 14-year-old with a lot of paint.
It's the making
of time
the song.
To kill.
Maybe using the golf cart feet to kind of. We keep doing traffic studies about lights at 45 and Walnut. I can't remember how much instead of a crossing there would be, some kind of lighted crossing. But there's a funding source for that, possibly. Pay down some of it at some point. Computerize the permits so we kind of have a, like I was looking at the book, I could barely read half of them because of the way the itty-bitty lines and the cursive
probably
writing.
Probably the ones I filled out.
Probably on that. And Rob's brain too. But something that's shareable with the police department. So if they stop somebody and, you know, person says, oh, I have a golf cart permit, I just didn't put it on, now you can look up their name. So, well, no, you don't.
Well, why isn't it already like an Excel?
I bet we can add that to the village program.
I bet we can.
And if you can give a log on to Summer and just have it to where she can just update that one file. Not
they
the,
can just pass the information to
and you'd have to
VP
put
like
each one
them.
In though.
Well, basically I can just go to the person in VP and put a note.
That's true.
With yeah. The
and also a funding source for possibly like Fun Day or our fall festival if disappear this time. We keep just taking away the general fund for Fun Day. This will be a designated funding source for Fun Day. So, just a few ideas, and there's other people can have. Just another way to get a little more money for stuff that we actually would like to use instead of water projects, and sewer, and
all right. Any other discussion on that? Something to think about, this is off the subject a little bit. If we sell the water and sewer systems, that would give us $305,000 unfunded in our IMRF fund. Which we could fund it with the money we make from that, but
for how long?
I know, exactly. That's just something to put out there. That's another one of the things, if we sold the systems, we'd have to figure out how to make up that funding in IMRF.
And on that aspect, though, if you sell the systems, we shouldn't be manning the systems anymore, so you wouldn't need as many employees.
We wouldn't need as many people. Yeah, we could cut down.
I don't like that either.
Quite a bit.
Giving jobs.
All right, so approval of resolution 2019-R-2 authorizing Champaign County HMP project manager to act as the Tolan representative at the hazardous migration planning team.
Mitigation.
Not migration.
Oh, whatever.
So. I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2019-R-2.
Second.
Okay. Roll call.
Anderson?
Yes.
Buffo?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
I think were you on the board when she came and did a presentation? It's been like 4 years ago.
Well, if it was 4 years ago, I was on the board.
And she did a presentation.
Unless it was
that.
Before December of that year.
Migration, kind of
yeah,
like
whatever.
Physical year.
Okay, discussion approval of purchase of PD computers. He needs about $2,000. It's in the budget. It's a budgeted line item. But
who he?
Brian.
Brian?
Yeah. Justin's going to program a couple computers for us.
No
yeah, Brian needs Brian needs $2,000, so I'm going to suggest we approve up to $2,000. It's a budget item. He's got more than that budgeted for it, but he said that's about what he needs now. Since we're watching each line item in the budget, we're having them come to us and ask.
Did he already bring you a quote?
No, he just
text me. That's about what he needs.
I think we probably need to see something.
Well, okay, here's the deal. He buys them on Dell.
Yes.
And he waits until he gets a coupon. He waits until he gets...
He's constantly saving money.
He saves us a ton of money when he does this. And he'll set up in the middle of the night and wait for just the right thing to go on sale.
And
we'll scratch
like
a dead sale.
Paying a contractor to go find us something. We're paying an employee to go find us something.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, this is actually a good thing, just to prove up to $2,000. My guess is he'll come in a lot lower than that.
I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of the PD computers not to exceed $2,000.
Second that.
Okay, roll call.
Anderson?
Yes.
Buffo?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Any questions on the tickler file or the nuisance file?
It will be updated for the next time. Justin brought me the updated today. So.
Cool. And then I think we're going to have to get them all motivated on some of these earlier.
There was one ordinance violation I wrote up after the last meeting and delivered that. So I'm still watching that property. I guess I kind of need some guidance from Mark
on that.
On what?
Well, Justin. Can we just call Justin direct? Why don't we just call Justin direct on that one instead of Mark? I think you'll.
Yeah, because Justin was already dealing with it because Mark handed it off to Justin.
And then that way we just cut out the middleman on that one. I think you'll.
We don't need to pay two lawyers for one.
Exactly. So.
Were you able to speak to the property owner at that time? Did you get any feedback from that property owner?
He said that they were working on his property. It hadn't been touched from what I can see. I looked at the aerial photo on Chipping FGIS, and that was 2017. The aerial photo was taken. The bridge was falling in then. It's getting worse.
Okay.
Special events?
You what?
Special events?
Yeah, special event permits.
What?
I just sent them to the
So, we need to start moving on some nuisance properties again. We kind of need to do it in waves.
We're not overloading the lawyer, overloading Justin, and also so we're not overreaching the budget for the year.
That's true. But I like
to move. We tell them, do this, and get the bill and go.
Holy cow.
And then we can't do anything for the rest of the year.
They're reading special event permits over here. We have two of them to approve because there's outside alcohol.
Huh?
Motion notes. He's got to gear up for his executive session motion.
I don't care.
You should read it.
We have it done at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Vicky, what are you doing about noon tomorrow?
I have a thing called a JOB.
Could someone bring something for you to sign?
Probably.
Like payroll?
Probably.
I just don't know what.
I think of the closest person, or maybe Jared.
I'm off tomorrow. I'll be in Arthur, Hammond, Atwood most of the morning, but I should be back early afternoon.
Yeah, she just needs a check signed so she can get them in the bank. So.
Are you up early then?
Just email all. I mean, I can approve it. It's fine. But.
Well, I didn't know if you'd be driving and not able
well,
to.
Well, we're planning on. I'm planning on being there, leaving at 6 and being there by noon. That's my goal.
I'll be
so.
At First Street.
The ranch at First Street. It's not too far away if you end up needing somebody.
You stretch the parked car's legs a little bit and get out there.
I
it wouldn't start.
To get a new vehicle and drive around town with me for a while. Yeah. Signing things. It'll start. It started last week.
Driving around. I don't care. Take it on the dirt road. Have some fun. Just don't end it up in the creek. Because I'm a little bit big enough tow truck to pull it out.
Hey, you heard it, Justin.
I was off somewhere else.
We're gonna have Hummer races.
It's alright. Just don't scratch it. Make sure you clean it. Fill it up.
But it needs to be cleaned anyway, right? So
mm-hmm.
I can have some fun and empty it.
Just make sure you clean it up when you're done. Over all the tires.
Absolutely.
Make it look good.
I have a 13-year-old for that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
He'd love to touch it even, so
I think we're
on the blast.
I think they've been reviewed, so whatever you're writing.
All right, so you ready for the special event permits?
I didn't even make any notes to know what they were. I thought that's really truly what you were doing.
Motion to approve.
Knew it.
The Loose Cobra. Special event permits for Friday, September 13th, and Saturday, September 21st.
Second.
All in favor?
Okay.
Aye.
Opposed? Mm-hmm. All right.
Please have him come pay you tomorrow.
Anything for the good of order before we go to executive session? Any discussion?
Someone should make a motion.
I know. Someone should make a motion. Do you have it?
I'll make a motion to enter into executive session for the limited purpose of discussing the hiring. Just the hiring? Is that all we're discussing? Do I have to say
all
the whole thing?
Them.
Hiring, performance, compensation, and or employment of one or more village employees per 5 ILCS 120-2C1.
I'll second that. Because that was very well worded.
Anderson?
Yes.
Buffo?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right, 5 minutes.
I shouldn't be doing that.